Welcome to the 2020 Challenge Podcast, a weekly teaching series that goes hand in hand with the 2020 Bible Reading Challenge that's inviting people like yourself to read through the entire Bible chronologically this year. I'm your host, Dan King, and each week I'm joined by Mark Minfried, my friend and the primary teacher at the Oceanside School of the Bible. Mark helps us to grow in our Christian faith by reviewing and reflecting on the preceding week's daily readings and encouraging us with key themes, principles, and practical application for our lives. As always, we invite you to participate by texting in your questions each week on your readings. Now, whether you've been with us all year so far, or if you're just jumping into the week, we're glad you're here and we look forward to learning together. Well, good evening, everybody. Hope you're doing well tonight, and we are excited to have you joining us again for another episode of the 2020 Bible Reading Challenge. This week is week 22. We're excited. It's going to be a great week where we're going to look at the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is a shift for us. It's moving from a lot of the historical teaching to we've been in the poetry teaching with Psalms. Now we're going to shift into some wisdom literature, some wisdom material here. And we're excited about that. And Mark's going to give us kind of an overview of what that means and what the implications of that shift is. And we'll be here for the next couple of weeks as we look at Proverbs this week, and then next week move into Song of Solomon and Ecclesiastes. So we're really excited about that. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're with us. I see a few people saying hello in the YouTube live chat. So it's great to have you chatting there with us. If you have a chance to let us know you're here and where you're coming from and watching from, let us know in the chat. In the meantime, we also want to let you know there's a few ways that you can connect with us tonight, because as always, we want to include you in this conversation. It's true that we're looking back on the last week's readings that we've been doing in this year-long study and reading of the Scripture. We started in January in the book of Genesis, and we're going all the way through chronologically to the end of this year in Revelation. And part of this is you asking questions, and we've invited you to text us this year. 250-740-1026 is the number you can text us at, and you can just ask us your questions, any questions you might have about the readings of the preceding week. And we've also got, if you're wondering what the preceding week readings are, you can look up the list on oceansidechurch.ca/2020. There is where we're going to find all the relevant information that you need. So that's what you need to know in order to interact with us. And we're really excited about this. I have this really weird fade happening right now. So let me just switch that. There we go. That's better. For those of you who are watching us or listening to us rather on the podcast, you have no idea what this fade I've been talking about is. But it's solved now. Spotify and Apple Podcasts are where you can listen to us, our audio version of these episodes. You can search for 2020 Challenge and you'll find it. And we're glad that you're with us as well. If you'd like to let us know you're listening to us on one of the audio podcasts, you can feel free to send an email to info@oceansidechurch.ca. We'll say hello, and it'll just let us know where you're listening from and maybe how you discovered it. It would be great to hear your story, as we've already heard a few from people who have emailed in and let us know. So that's us. It's exciting that you're here tonight, and I want to invite my good friend Mark into things right now and say hello. Hey, Mark, how's it going to you tonight?
Hey, Dan. Good to be back in the saddle. Yahoo.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's excellent to have you back here and moving into this really exciting next couple of weeks as we look at books of wisdom. And so that's really good. There's a lot of information in the world, and arguably what the world needs is the wisdom to use it correctly. And so that's what we're going to look at this week. So would you pray for us, Mark? And then we can begin to just dive in as people grab their notebooks and their pens. I just got to tell you, if you're watching tonight or listening, there is a lot of great information tonight, as I've had the sneak peek at some of Mark's notes here. So you want to grab a pen, you want to grab a bit of a notebook. There'll be some great notes to take tonight. Would you pray for us, Mark?
Yeah, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we've had to just read your word this last week, every day even, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for what that washing is doing in our lives. Just such a beautiful picture of your truth. Just every day washing off the stinking thinking and the crud in our lives. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're creating, God, as we approach the halfway mark at the end of this month. God, I just thank you for the cumulative things you're building in each of us as we read your word. And Lord, I thank you especially for tonight, for just the amazing practicality of your word, Lord. And I pray this would touch us in very practical and applicable ways, Lord, as we look at your word tonight. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask you to do that among us as we think and listen and wrestle with your word. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so as Dan mentioned, we're looking at a new type of literature tonight. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about there's a number of different kinds of literature in the Bible, and it's kind of the rules of the game. And so if you understand the type of literature, it's very helpful to know what God is about when he's using that, and then it helps us to understand how to interpret it. So we're going to look at a new genre or a new type of literature tonight, and that's wisdom literature. And we see that, of course, in the book of Proverbs. We're going to try to tackle that, an overview at least of the whole book tonight. The book of Ecclesiastes, which we'll look at next week. Many commentators and people feel like the book of Job would be included in wisdom literature in the Old Testament. And then lots of people kind of see the book of James in the New Testament as wisdom literature in the New Testament. So there's a number of places we see this in the Word of God. And start out with just wisdom. What does it mean? And just a couple of quotes that I picked up in my reading this last week. Wisdom is the skill of choosing the right course of action for the desired result. That's kind of good. One other writer said, skill in the art of godly living. So it's pretty exciting and pretty practical to be look at tonight. And for those of you who've been reading, you'll already know that there's a definite format for the book of Proverbs. For the most part, they're short, pithy statements. They're real compact, real easy to remember. And we actually use a lot of Proverbs in our modern language. Here's a sort of a modern illustration. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And that's a proverb. I don't think it's a biblical proverb, but it's an illustration of the way we use that language in our modern terms. Very short, very concise, and it sort of makes you think about what that is. There's actually a lot of biblical proverbs that get put into our common everyday speech that people don't even realize. Some are misquoted slightly, but so you definitely see those things. A couple weeks ago, we did an overview in the book of Psalms and talked about parallelism. So that's where you have two lines or couplets, and they're used a lot in the book of Proverbs, just like in the book of Psalms. So those two lines sometimes are comparison. So you'll see the first stays like, God is an amazing God, and he is like, and the next line will give you another illustration of that or another way of looking at that. Proverbs, a lot of them are contrast. So it'll say it's really good to, but it really sucks if you, So that's contrast. So you see these two lines and these two couplets is real typical of what's in Proverbs. Sometimes there's longer sections, but just a lot of them are like that. Proverbs are gleaned from careful observation of the human condition. So many of these were written or at least recorded by Solomon. And of course, scripture says from last week, you know, was the wisest man in history. So he was a very good studier of human nature and human patterns, human tendencies. And so that's where a lot of these kinds of wisdom literature has come from, just from observing life and paying attention to how things work. And then over centuries, putting those together in wisdom handed down, you know, parents to children, and those things kind of gel into these kinds of these real tight proverbs. I would say the best way to think about interpreting Proverbs is they're rules of thumb rather than absolute promises. So like Proverbs 10:3 says, the Lord will not let the godly go hungry. Now, has there ever been a time in world history where godly people have gone hungry? Yeah, probably, for sure. So it's not an absolute, but it's a rule of thumb that if you look at the whole of everything, in general, the godly do not go hungry, meaning God takes care of his people. So that's where we've got to start to think about Proverbs in terms of rules of thumb. They're observations about life and living. And there's a lot in the Proverbs about knowledge and wisdom. And these two are closely related. I would say knowledge is an accurate grasp of facts and information according to God's perspective. That's the way I think about knowledge. It's facts-based, it's information-based. And as a believer, I'm looking for what's God's perspective on that. That's how I define truth or what knowledge is, true knowledge. Wisdom, I would say, is the purposeful application of knowledge given a specific situation, bringing an outcome that pleases God. So knowledge is knowing something. Wisdom is applying it into a particular situation. Some of you that hung around Bible school have heard me say this before, but knowledge is knowing that tomatoes are a fruit. Wisdom is not putting them in the fruit salad. So that's just a quick, I don't think that's a proverb in the Word of God, but it's just a good way that I kind of think about it. It's interesting that in the New Testament, both knowledge and wisdom end up being spiritual gifts that are given to believers by the Holy Spirit. We see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We did a great course a couple of years back at Oceanside School of the Bible called Growing in Spiritual Gifts. And if you want to watch some of those videos, you'll find them on oceansidechurch.ca. There's a little drop down that says school, and that class was called Growing in Spiritual Gifts. You can actually look at the spiritual gift of wisdom or the spiritual gift of knowledge. So it's great that God has been about wisdom and knowledge throughout all of the scripture in the Old Testament and in the New Testament under the anointing and the gifting of the Holy Spirit. So two things that are obviously really important to God. Before we dive in today, just want to say a real personal and intimate connection for me for the book of Proverbs. In high school, I was discipled by just a really neat guy named Paul Fleischman. He was my Campus Crusade for Christ leader. And he challenged myself and a couple of guys in kind of a leadership core to read Proverbs daily. And so there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. There's 31 days or almost that much in every month. So you can just read a chapter a day. It's so simple. You don't have to worry about it. If you wake up and it's the 12th day of the month, you just read Proverbs 12. And I took that challenge through much of my high school years and even in my teenage years, and just did that as sort of a regular practice in my reading, just to read that chapter for that day of the month. And I can't tell you what a difference that has made in my life. You know, teenage boys are seriously goofballs, and I was a serious goofball. But this book and the wisdom that was contained in this book saved me from so many bad decisions and so much heartache in my teenage years. Just over and over again, I think about Proverbs that have shaped me. And I just remember in those years just being hungry for the book of Proverbs and just wanting to be able to know what is God's perspective on dating and sexuality and money and work and, you know, all of these very practical things that that we're all trying to figure out in our teenage years. And I just have to say that, you know, although certainly I haven't done all that right, that good deposit for me in my teenage years has really shaped the whole course of the rest of my life. So I have a deep and intimate love for this book. It's just one that I can go back to every day, every week, every month, year after year after year, and there'll be something like, oh, I never saw this. And that's because it's the Word of God and because it's active and living and because the Holy Spirit infuses that. So I'm pretty stoked about the book of Proverbs. Dan, any input at that point or questions? Are you as excited as I am? Are you fading away?
No, I love the book of Proverbs. I love the truth that it holds. And there are so many of the little Proverbs, especially in the latter part, and I'll get to a question about this in a second, but the latter part of it has just these, like you said, those pithy little statements that are easy to memorize and are really become a great kind of a guiding compass for my activity and my actions. And so I love the book of Proverbs. It's awesome. It seems to have at least two different styles within it. And I wondered if you were going to touch on this in your introduction. I didn't hear anything about it, but kind of chapter 1 to 9 seems to have a different style than getting into chapter 10 and on. Chapter 10 and on is those little shots, right? Those like but that you talked about as far as the comparisons and contrasts. Can you just speak to the different styles that are there?
Well, Proverbs, like Psalms, is probably a compilation of wisdom literature.
Okay.
So probably not everything that came through here is Solomon's. There's other wise people and wise things that are included in this. There's different purposes. There's the training up of a leader. Yep. It could have well been Solomon teaching his own boys the kingly role. That could have been some of it included in there. There are other parts that have come in from other things. So there's not a super obvious context, like especially at the end of the book. If I just took one chapter and we tried to work through it and I said, this relates to that, I can't see great themes in a lot of this.
Right.
It's just like it's this disconnected little sort of pills that come in of wisdom, and that's what makes it a little bit unique. Yeah. And that's one of the characteristics also of wisdom literature as well. So.
Okay, good. The other question I just popped in, and it's a question I personally have, Mark, is you mentioned that James is some considered by some to be wisdom literature. That's something that I hadn't come across in the past. Do you have any insight into why that's been categorized, at least it's somewhat, as wisdom literature?
Yeah, like it's not, it wouldn't be my first thought either, but just in terms of when you read commentaries on wisdom literature, many of the wisdom literature commentators see James as that. I think maybe what the draw for them is it's so practical, it's so in your face.
Yeah, it is a very practical book, yeah.
And yeah, let's come back to that again about November this
year. Exactly, right, when we hit the book of James.
Remind me, because let's think back and evaluate after we've read the book of James and say, now what might be the bridges between the two? So yeah
so that's one we'll set. I'll set on the shelf with a few other questions for down the road. Awesome. Well, let's continue to look a little bit more at the purpose of the book and the content of the book.
Yeah. You know, so a lot of books of the Bible, when you dive in, you're trying to kind of figure out sometimes, particularly in the Old Testament, what's going on here? Like, what is the point? What are we trying to get at here? I don't really understand. It takes a bit of time, maybe. But the book of Proverbs is very different than that, probably because, you know, there's this master teacher whose things are being recorded a lot. But right out of the get-go, the purpose of the book is given. And I see it as a sort of a twofold purpose. We don't always get this in biblical writings, but man, it's super clear in Proverbs. Let me just read the opening verses, Proverbs 1, 2 to 6. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, to help them do what is right, just, and fair. These proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. Let the wise listen to the proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. By exploring the meaning of these proverbs and parables, the words of the wise and their riddles. So I kind of see two prongs here in terms of the opening verses in the book of Proverbs. The first goal is to teach. So this is information kinds of things. So verse 2, it's for the simple and the wise person. The great thing about wisdom is no matter sort of where you are in your track of starting with God's wisdom, there's always more to learn. You know, once in a while, I run across somebody who kind of gives me this attitude like, I know it all, and, you know, there's nothing else to learn. That makes me really sad when I see a person like that, because I know there's always more to learn. And no matter how deep you are into understanding and applying and falling in love with this stuff, there's always going to be more. So for the very beginner or for the advanced, if you could say it that way, there's more, more information. The Proverbs are to teach with understanding. So again, this is talking about head kind of stuff, knowledge stuff. We see that in verse 2. For insight, for knowledge, of course, we've mentioned that. And then for discernment, recognizing right from wrong, we see that in verse 4. So a lot of the Proverbs are information, they're teaching, but much more than that, the goal, the second prong that I see here in these opening verses is the goal is to bring a changed lifestyle. So this is about action. So we see the goal of Proverbs is a disciplined life in 1 verses 2 and 3. We see the goal is a successful life, verse 3, and then to do what is right, just, and fair in verse 3. So these aren't head things. These are hand things, if you want to say it that way. These are shoe leather kinds of things when we talk about that. So that's just what's a wonderful balance between God wants us to know stuff, but he wants us to apply that stuff and to have lifestyle change in that. It's not just enough to know all this stuff. It has to come out in our life. Derek Kidner's written a good commentary on Proverbs. He says the function of Proverbs in Scripture is to put godliness into working clothes. I like that. This morning I was back driving school bus, which is my job for the first time in a couple of months. And as I was putting on my steel-toed boots and my high-vis vest, I was putting on my work clothes. And I thought about that quote and just thought, you know, am I putting on wisdom this morning as I get ready to go? Lord, is that part of my safety gear as I get ready for work? So it's just meant to be that practical and that down to earth in our life. There's a saying that says that all truth is God's truth. You might have heard that, and I think there's a lot to be said for that, that God is the author of truth. He is the one who started all of this. He has all knowledge and all wisdom. So people who don't yet know God personally, they can learn and know stuff. For instance, in science, there's many, many just brilliant people who know much about the universe and our bodies and, you know, the ecology and so many things. They don't maybe yet know the Lord personally, but they know a lot of things. People can know about astronomy and about the orbits of the planets. And, you know, these are things that we can know. And this is wonderful, because if all truth is God's truth, it's not surprising that we can determine and learn some of those things by careful observation, even without referencing God into the picture. But Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is talking about a knowledge that's so much more than just that. It's so much more than just an observation and a careful scientific application of the things around us in the five senses. There's much more that God is up to in that. And the book of Proverbs makes a real strong statement about where this journey begins. What's the first step in the journey of wisdom, coming toward wisdom and applying yourself in wisdom? You know, what are the headwaters is another way to say that. Take a huge river like the Amazon or the Mississippi or the Nile. Somewhere, if you could walk back upstream far enough, you'd find some little trickle or some little pond or some little mud puddle where that whole thing started from, right? Where does the journey start in wisdom? And the scriptures in Proverbs makes that really clear where the headwaters are. Let's look at Proverbs 1:7. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." 9:10, this comes up a number of different places in Proverbs. I'll just read you 9:10. "The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment." So that's the first starting point, is we've got to be able to start to think through, what is this thing about the fear of the Lord? And many times this gets misunderstood sometimes for new Christians or people that are just kind of coming into a faith community. It's like, what is it to the fear of the Lord? Well, we usually think in terms of terror or anticipation of retribution when we think about fear. Somebody's got a big stick and they're going to hit me, right? That's that kind of fear when we think about fear. Biblical fear is not like that, because God is not a God like that. But biblical fear talks about reverence, meaning recognition for who God is, awe, that just that eye-popping, wow, I can't believe how big you are, Lord, respect, and personal humility. Scripture says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So personal humility is really one of the entrance points into understanding wisdom literature. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all of that. And we see that if you just take a quick Bible search of the word fear in Proverbs, oh man, I can't even list them all tonight. There are many, many references about the positive effects when someone begins to fear the Lord, when they begin to reverence and awe and respect the Lord, starting in 2:5 and just on and on and on. There's lots of those. There's lots of negative illustrations about what happened when someone doesn't fear the Lord, or they don't show respect for the Lord. What's the outcome in a situation like that? So this issue of the fear of the Lord is really a key starting point. And actually, we see this throughout all scriptures, Old and New Testament. Think about Romans chapter 1. Mentioned this probably in the very first week of the Bible Reading Challenge. But in Romans chapter 1, it's just going through strategically. I can't wait to get to Romans. I'm so excited. Chapter 1, 2, and 3 about the human condition. And chapter 1 talks about the people that don't yet know God. What is their need for God? And in Romans, I'll just read it to you, 1:18, just to begin with. "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he's made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God." Scripture is clear that in our hearts, if we are just looking and seeking God, there is his calling card is all around us, so to speak. Psalm 19. Verse 21, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship God as God or even give him thanks. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like, and as a result, their minds became dark and confused. And then from there, we read about a downward spiral in the trajectory of a life like that. When a person chooses to reject God and take God out of the picture, it ends up in some really dark places as we finish up in Romans chapter 1. So that starting point of who is God is a real critical place in the journey for wisdom. Matter of fact, it's the most important thing. You know, and if we try to enter into a quest for wisdom without the fear of the Lord, really we'll only get so far. But with that fear of the Lord, with that humble spirit coming in saying, God, you are mighty. I need your help to understand this. God loves to just pour gasoline on a fire like that and meet us where we are and show us his wisdom, because he gives grace to the humble but opposes the proud. Thoughts or comments or questions on that section, Dan?
Yeah, I just love that part on fear of the Lord. And it's so true. It's the beginning of wisdom, because it humbles us. And it puts our hearts in the right place then to receive that information, clarifying wisdom that allows us to live, as you've mentioned, about the two kind of the twofold needs, both for live as a person of wisdom and understanding, but also as somebody who has a changed life and someone who can change lives. So that's
that's a good point.
That's so helpful. Hey, I just wanted to ask a couple of questions about the type of proverbs that show up. We understand that they're to teach and they're to bring a changed lifestyle, but there's some interesting ones that are kind of thrown out there. And I'll pick one that was sent in by somebody via text this week. It was anonymous, so it didn't have a name with it. So it's someone.
Chicken.
That's right.
Chicken.
Eh? And they said Proverbs 17:8, and it's a proverb on Proverbs 17:8 is a proverb on just the whole area of bribes and giving a bribe. And let me just quickly find it and read it here. It says, the bribe is seen. Let me switch it to New Living Translation that we're using here in our study.
I got it, dude.
A bribe is like a lucky charm. I don't think they're talking about kids' breakfast cereal here. Whoever gives one will prosper. And you're like, wait a minute. Is this telling us that we should go ahead and bribe people? Or does this come back to the rule of thumb rather than absolute? Just wait a minute. This sounds to me like bad advice, but... what do we do with these little proverbs that don't seem to fit with what we might feel is wisdom?
Yeah, and that's good. It's a good question. And there are ones that stick out like that throughout the book of Proverbs. You'll be reading along going, amen, amen, oh, preach it, oh, it's good. And you're like, what?
Wait a minute.
That's a good illustration of one of those. And I think this is a really good time to just talk a second about, when we get in situations like that in Scripture, we want to let all of Scripture interpret what we're trying to figure out. Okay. So we want to broaden out the lens and say, okay, what does the rest of the Word of God say about bribes? And we just went through the law. If you've been reading the 2020 Challenge, there's lots and lots of places where God says, do not give bribes. They twist justice. It's very, very clear. God is not into bribes. That's something he doesn't want to see happening. So we know from the Word of God that that's not something that God supports, encourages, says yay to. But one of the things about Scripture, which we've talked about already before, is just because it's recorded in the Word of God doesn't mean it's approved by God. Scripture is a very real picture of the good stuff in our life and the bad stuff in our life. And I think this particular proverb, and there's ones like this too, is just a reflection of the reality that in a fallen world, the bribe does open doors. But I think in this context, when I read that one, and I think about the rest of Scripture and what God's picture is on the bribe, as it says, I think it's a warning. It's like, be careful. If you're working with someone who's in that mode of receiving bribes or giving bribes, you got to be really, really careful and really, really wise, because there's a lot of strange things can take place in that situation. So I don't think it's an approval of it, but I think it's a reference to a real thing that does happen in life. And that's why I love the Word of God and Proverbs too.
So good. And it's such a great clarifier again, just to even add to the idea that it's a rule of thumb rather than absolute promise. And then again, just because it's recorded doesn't mean it's approved.
Yeah.
And that, yeah. Yeah, that's so helpful to look at this whole thing as a as a big picture. And that's one of the nice things about reading the Bible chronologically this year, is we get the big 30,000-foot view of Scripture, so we can begin to take the little pieces and put them in context of the larger. So that's awesome. Just before we continue, Mark, I just want to say to those who are watching the live stream right now, and if you're listening after the fact or watching after the fact too, if you're listening to the live stream right now, would you comment or send me a text as to your favorite proverb, maybe the favorite proverb that you heard, read this week? And if you're listening after the fact, would you just comment on this or send us a note and let us know what your favorite proverb is? We'd love to highlight some of those and hear from some of you. So just kind of reaching out. I'm going to ask a question about that after the next segment. So wanted to kind of prime the pump a bit, but let's continue. Thanks, Mark.
You're such a good host,
well,
Dan.
You know, I try.
You're just so inclusive.
I try. I just kind of draw it in.
So we'll dive back in. So when we look at the book of Proverbs, sort of an overview again mode, I think there's three main types of persons which are described in the Word of God. The first is the wise, and then we have the fool, and then we have the simple. And there's quite a bit of differences between these three. So the wise person, or sometimes called the righteous person, there's other adjatives that come in for, the, I think, descriptions of different ways of looking at that type of person. But the wise person or the righteous person, this is a person who patterns their life after God's commands and his covenant in the context of Old Testament here. The fool is the opposite of that, often called the wicked, and there's many, many references to that. This is a spiritually dull person who's obstinate towards the Lord. It's a spiritual problem. It's not a mental problem. Dull, like not real smart. It's not like that. But it's a person who's obstinate, who's resisting the Lord. It's a person who's steadily opposed to God and his covenant. So that's an Old Testament way of thinking about the fool. So those are two in sort of juxtaposition to each other, the wise and the fool. And a lot of times they're compared, even in, you know, two different lines, you'll see that. There's another person or a group of people called the simple. And the simple, I think, is best definition, is a person who's not committed firmly to either camp yet. You know, sometimes they're interested in wisdom. Sometimes if it's too much work, they're interested in folly. And this person is easily misled. They float around and get pushed around by whatever is going on and whoever's talking. So there's the simple, and that's sort of a good way to sort of think about these three types of people that are addressed in the Word of God. The other thing in those opening chapters in the book of Proverbs is, I think it really, really shows us that wisdom is worth going after, if you could say that. It's worth pressing in and pursuing. Look at Proverbs 2:1-5. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you'll understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain the knowledge of God. So Proverbs is very clear. This is worth something that's worth pressing into and looking for. I don't know if you remember, maybe a year or two ago, maybe it's longer than that, time goes by quicker, but there was a really rich guy who said there was a whole bunch of stuff that he stashed, and he had these real intense clues that if you could go and follow all the clues and then you get all this rich stuff at the end, man, people just consume their lives, you know, in terms of trying to do these things. They just change their whole lives to try to follow these clues and get this pot of gold or whatever was there at the end of that. I think that's, in a human way, a very, very small picture of what the writer of Proverbs is trying to say is, this is worth going after. Wisdom has a value. It's worth adjusting your life, transforming your life in the pursuit of that wisdom. Is actually, wisdom gets personified as a real person, as a woman in the book, which is very interesting. Proverbs 1:20-21. This also comes up a couple chapters later, the same approach. But wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. She calls to the crowds in the main street, to those gathered in front of the city gate. So you see this wisdom being personified actually as a person, and that stands in contrast in those early chapters in Proverbs with the adulterous woman who's also calling out in the streets, but for a different reason. So you see these two voices going back and forth in those early chapters in the book of Proverbs. But wisdom is a real thing, if you want to say that. It's God reaching out and wanting to be able to make wisdom available to people. So I just love the intensity of these opening chapters in the book of Proverbs, that this is worth going after. It will change your life. And it's something that God wants you to have. He's not hiding it. He's wanting to broadcast and to make available wisdom, particularly for the simple, those who are not sure or bouncing around and, you know, who don't know their way in life, like I was as a teenager and still am a lot of my life, the simple person. But wisdom comes in and brings strength in our life. I don't know if you ever have seen the Shopping Channel on TV, okay? It's not something that I ever really watch, but once in a while I'm flipping through trying to find something, you know, and I see this and I stop just for a second. And my first reaction is, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. You know, it's like the Ginzu Choppinator, you know, and does all this stuff. But the longer you watch, the kind of like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. And that's cool. They just keep piling all this stuff that'll just change your life. And then, of course, at the end, but wait, if you order before midnight, you know, then something else happens. I wonder what it would be like on the Shopping Channel if we could talk about the benefits of wisdom. How would it be presented, the benefits of wisdom? I got thinking about that, and I just, on the back of a napkin, just basically went through the first 9 chapters of Proverbs in that mode. And let me just help you see some of the things. What are some of the benefits of pursuing wisdom? It helps you steer clear of people with evil intent. It keeps you safe from harm. It brings a life filled with joy. It saves us from immoral relationships. Wisdom helps us find favor with God and with people. It gives us a long and satisfying life. It brings healing to our bodies. Wisdom brings financial success. In it, our soul is refreshed. We sleep soundly without fear. The wisdom is more valuable than rubies and gold. And it will be showered with blessings when we pursue wisdom. That's just the first 9 chapters, and that's just a quick overview. But so many benefits of pursuing wisdom. But the cool thing is that this wisdom is not, you know, the empty advertising of cheap consumerism. These are the very words and the promises of God. And the great thing is God calls out to us, and it's all for free. You know, it's all for the taking. God's wanting to be able to let us hear and to respond and to know and to grow and to change our lifestyles for the better because of what he wants to give to us in wisdom. And that's what I think Proverbs is all about. Dan, any thoughts or questions there?
That's great. It's been it's interesting to hear the different types of people that have been described and some of the benefits that you've just reviewed on what wisdom is. I've been fast and furious. I got a lot of responses to the question I asked a few moments ago. I'm going to miss somebody here. But Nick wrote us a question earlier this week, and he said, what are your favorite proverbs? And for yourself and myself, and he shared one of his, and I'll start with that. His was Proverbs 8, 22 to 31. It's a long one. I'm not going to read it all. But it starts by saying, the Lord formed me. From the beginning, he created, before he created anything else, I was appointed in ages past, at the very first, before the earth began. It almost is like a prophetic text describing even Christ in God's presence in creation. And so he just loves the beauty of that proverb, that passage. Mm-hmm. And I, as I read it, I went, yeah, this is a really great example of an uplifting, insightful, prophetic expression in the Proverbs. So I want to say yes to affirm to Nick for that being one of his favorites. How about you, Mark? Do you have a couple of favorites that you can look at?
Just a truth and disclosure here. Dan warned me about this. Normally, I don't want to know the questions ahead of time. I like the fact of just having to depend on the Lord, and I think it just makes it kind of raw. But he did say to me, I'm going to ask you your 2 favorite Proverbs, and so I'm not very good with numbers. I knew what they were, but I had to look them up. The one that I just love, and you're going to laugh, but is Proverbs 20:14. The buyer haggles over the price, saying, it's worthless, then brags about getting a bargain. I love that one. All my life, I've bought and sold old cars and trucks, and I'm a horse trader at heart, right? So I could just see the horse trading going on. No, it's too much. I could never pay that. Oh, no, no. And he gets home to his buddies. Man, did I score on that. So I just love the reality of the proverb. So
good.
That one might not be so spiritual, but the other one that really, really stands out is Proverbs 4:23. And I kind of stole this from my wife because this is really a favorite of hers, but it means a great deal to both of us. I have it memorized in a different edition, so I'll just read the one out of the one we're reading. Sure. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Mm. That's one of my faves.
I can see that as being one that would stick out to you in your younger teen years, that helps direct you and takes you through it's an anchor type proverb.
Yeah.
For me.
What about you, Dan? Come on, cough it up.
Yeah. No. I could find a lot of them. A lot of Proverbs 5 through Proverbs 9. That area is a chunk of the Proverbs that I really have found myself highlighting a lot of different Proverbs for. I'm just going to pick one out of it. Chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Don't put it off. Do it now. Don't rest until you do." And this is talking about putting aside your pride and going and making things right and these kind of things. And so that's something that I try to stand on and have speak wisdom into my life is how I interact and react with people. We had a few others that came in no particular order. We had Proverbs 14:4, "Without oxen, a stable stays clean, but you need a strong ox for a large harvest." And that was
that's one of our prophetic people.
Yeah,
that's
a Jessica wrote one. That one in. So that was great. Just a reminder that be prepared to get messy as the harvest comes in. So that was a great one. We had somebody here said Proverbs 31:8, which is "Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those who are being crushed. You speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they are getting they get justice." And even in today's climate and what's going on in our world right now, such a wise, significant proverb. So that's great. Sally said Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him, he will make your paths straight." Someone mentioned Proverbs 10-31, talking about the wife of noble character. I think that's Joy who mentioned that.
Yeah, girls can do that, but the guys, we can't do that one. No, that's okay if a woman does lose that.
That's
one.
Right, right. So, and then Proverbs 4:23 about guarding your house above all else. You mentioned that one, and at the end, I also have to say here, although they didn't share one, Chris and Wayne say hello. They were late to jumping in here, and I have to apologize to Chris because Chris, I referred to you as he a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, we were all going
a couple
last
of
week.
Times. And I missed the clarification and I read it so fast. So my apologies, Wayne. My apologies, Chris, for misrepresenting you. And it's good to see you guys here with us tonight. So those are some people's favorite proverbs. That's awesome. Mark, can you kind of land this now for us? Is there a kind of a take home or a last thought as we've looked now at the difference between knowledge and wisdom? What wisdom gives us scripturally, the purpose of it, and some benefits of it. Can you now kind of bring it in for landing and give us a last thought?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm always praying during the week as I'm preparing for Monday nights, Lord, what's the take home? And had an interesting conversation with some really good friends a couple days ago. And we were just talking about some of the important and difficult decisions they were facing in their life regarding COVID-19, do I go back to work? What does that mean? How does that relate to people in my life that are more vulnerable? You know, there are many, many people that have different viewpoints and different levels of passion about this and how we should conduct ourselves. There's just so much in this COVID-19 period, so many decisions to navigate. And it was just a really honest conversation just to saying, you know, we really need the wisdom of God. We're not sure how to proceed in this next week. And I just got to thinking about that. What a great illustration of why we need God's wisdom and why we need the Word of God. You know, what are we to do as Christians? There's so many voices out there, so many things that are being said. And yeah, it's good to to appraise all those things. One of the Proverbs says, you know, through the multiplication of counselors, good decisions are made. So, you know, that's good. But what are we supposed to do as Christians? And I just felt like God was saying, you know what? Ask me for wisdom. Just ask me for wisdom. And I thought about James in that passage in the beginning of James. And maybe this is one of the connections about your earlier question about the wisdom literature in James. But James 1, 5 to 8, James says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. It's a wonderful passage because it just talks about the generosity of God and his sharing wisdom, and that there's no rebuke from God when we ask for wisdom. You remember Solomon last week? You know, God says, what can I do for you? Of all the things that Solomon could ask, he asked for wisdom. He said, I want to govern your people well. And, you know, God's response wasn't, well, that's dumb. No, it was like, great answer. And he pours a whole bunch of other blessings on him because of that. So there's no rebuke for asking God when you're not sure, to be honest with him and just say, I don't know. But one of the things that we have to be clear about is when we do that, we can't take the approach that what God says is just one opinion to be considered among many. I've fallen into this for sure in my life many times, probably. You know, I make the mistake of making my own plan and thinking, okay, here's the way forward. Not sure what to do, but I work it all out, pluses and minuses, two tables, and, you know, here's the way forward. And then I kind of bring that to God and kind of, in essence, say, God, can you rubber stamp this? Like, can I get your seal of approval on this? But James really talks about that's actually the opposite approach that we should have before God. We need to be able to come to God in honesty and say, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm committed to pursuing your wisdom, Lord. And when you reveal it to me, I'm committed to making that happen and bringing those changes into my life at whatever cost. That's when we really start to see true wisdom come not into just our minds, but get into our bodies when it comes into life change. And just in this difficult time that we're all in, and now, you know, a whole nother development in North America in the last week about things that we have to work through and we may be unsure of, and how do we respond and what's the right thing to do. And one of the Proverbs that was mentioned earlier is, you know, 3,000 years old and yet looks very, very applicable right now for what's on the news this week. We can ask God for wisdom, and God will pour that out with great joy and with great blessing in our life. And that's such an amazing privilege to be able to have a God like that. So I just want to pray for us as we close.
Thank you. Do that.
Lord, I thank you that you're a good God and that you give wisdom so freely. More than give, you actually, you pursue us. You stand on the street corner and you call us. Lord, you want us to be wise. You don't want us to be bumping around and hurting ourselves and hurting others. Lord, you want us to be wise. And I thank you so much for the practical application of your word. Lord, I pray now that as all these things that we're reading last week and this week in Proverbs, that as they come through our mind, Holy Spirit, you would help us to be able to bring them into action and changed lifestyles because of what we're reading. And Lord, I know you want to do that. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you actually empower us to be able to do that as believers. And so we thank you for this. Thank you for your word, Lord. Pray for your blessing on the reading that's coming up in this next week. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Amen.
Thanks so much, Mark. And we'll talk to you next week again. So everyone, thank you so much for joining us. I hope it's been fruitful this time together. I hope you took some notes, and I hope that some of the words that Mark spoke and some of the questions that came in as clarifiers for those will give you an encouragement this week to work out your faith, to share with others, to experience or to exercise empathy for others, and that you would sit under the wisdom and the teaching of the Lord in days like these. And so we pray that as you go into this week, that you would just continue to be asking, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. And then you'd sit under that wisdom as we continue to read the next couple of days, some Proverbs, and then move into Song of Songs and into Ecclesiastes for week 23 on our journey through 2020. This next week, we're going to be reading, for those of you who are using the PDF and the guide, that you can find on the website for where are we going here with it, oceansidechurch.ca/2020. Those of you who are following that, you can be looking at day 153 to day 159. That's our readings for the next week. We're so excited you guys have been with us. We're so excited to learn with you, to read with you, to be encouraged with you, and spend time with you in the Word of God. Have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you soon. And please text in those questions that you have over the next week of reading, and we'll get to them just as soon as we can next Monday night in the live stream. And to those of you who are listening on audio podcasts, it's great to be with you today. For those of you watching this video after the live stream, we're so excited that you're with us. We'll talk to you all again soon.